Blog Talk Radio.
Washington's birthday. He was born in 1732, and we'll have a little audio clip celebrate his or commemorate his defeat of Lord Cornwallis at Yorktown with the help of the French Admiral de Grasse, and give you a few anecdotes about Washington, and we'll carry on with this next week also. Among the birthdays today, Arthur Schopenhauer, great German philosopher, along with Goethe. The Germans are very good at philosophy, that kind of philosophy. Frederick Chopin, or Chopin, the great Polish emigre to France, had a longtime affair with George Sand, who was a woman who decided to use the name George, great novelist. It was a tempestuous relationship. Chopin was probably the greatest Polish pianist and composer in that country's history, and he didn't live that long. I think he died of pneumonia. The guy who discovered hydrogen on the sun, Pierre Jules Caesar Jensen, he's discovered hydrogen on the sun. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Another discoverer, the guy whose name is associated with the frequency in radio, Heinrich Hertz, H-E-R-T-Z. We honor him. Anybody in radio should know about Hertz. And, of course, this is the birthday of Lord Robert Baden-Powell, the founder of the Boy Scouts. And here are two little clips from the archives. His message to parents. Here it goes.
Hello, you boy in the corner there. You ought to be a Boy Scout. You're a fine-looking fella, and I know you would make a jolly good backwoodsman by the look of you. You're ugly enough anyway. And you gal there, no, I don't mean you, I mean the pretty one behind you. You ought to be a girl guide, you know. Oh, you are one. Oh, I beg your pardon. That's quite right. Now go on and tell all your pals to come and be girl guides like you. I'm very glad to see you there. Thank you all. Good luck to you. And I wish we may meet again. Thank you.
Now we have Lord Baden-Powell. His invitation to a boy, scout or girl scout.
Hello, you boy in the corner there. You ought to be a boy scout.
Oh,
you're a fine looking.
We already played that. We've made a mistake.
Hello, you boy in the corner there.
Won't do an encore on this one. Among the other birthdays today, we had Connie Mack, who's a great baseball player from the South. David Dubinsky, great union leader, I believe he was a socialist, and he's associated, I think, with the Women's Garment union. A lot of abuses of women. There was a notorious fire in New York City where they blocked off the fire escapes, and a lot of women were killed. They had to jump to their death when a fire occurred on an upper floor of a substandard factory. And that led to reforms in the fire codes and protecting women workers. Women have been horribly abused in the garment industry, and they still are with the Asians here in on the West Coast, where Chinese and Vietnamese women, Asian women, I don't think any Filipinos are involved, work in these garment factories, and the horrible things that they do to them. They rip off wages, long hours, terrible working conditions. We'll get into that another day, because there's some of the sleaziest politicians involved, and we will name names and expose these people. Great American writer, Edna St. Vincent Millay, born on this day, a great Latino, Hispanic movie director, Louis Brunel. Remember Dr. Marcus Welby? Robert Young, born in Chicago on this day. Another Chicagoan, very cheap. I remember him when I worked in downtown Chicago many years ago. Charles O. Finley, who I believe founded the Continental National Assurance Company, and a very controversial company, and they have a low rating in the blue rating of insurers. Finley bought the Oakland A's, and he was known to being extremely parsimonious, or, as one person said, damn cheap. If you remember the voices in Breakfast at Tiffany's, West Side Story, and The King and I, well, none of these people who starred in the movie, these women, Audrey Hepburn, Natalie Wood, or Deborah Carr, could really sing. Their voices were dubbed by Marnie Nixon. Amazing, quite a talented woman. I hope she got paid enough. Among the deaths, and also today is the birthday of the late and unlamented Senator Ted Kennedy, who throughout his life was dogged by the drowning of Mary Jo Kopechnik at Chappaquiddick. Among the deaths today, the Scottish king, David Bruce II, in 1371. The guy whose name has been given to America, Amerigo Vespucci, 1512, born today. The guy who invented music conducting, he used a big broom, and he was beating the time, and he was over-enthusiastic, and I believe he hit his toe and got infected and died. Jean-Baptiste Lully, a Frenchman. Another great philosopher died today, Johann Wolfgang Goethe. Beethoven set his Ode to Joy set it in the Ninth Symphony, and Beethoven was deaf, but he could read. Two assassinations of Mexican presidents during the late 19th century. Raul Alemán was related to one who died at his desk. but these guys, Suarez and then Madero, they died. They were both died about 1913. And Benito Juarez was the founder of modern Mexico. First president, and he's the one who defeated the French and forced them out, and forced Archduke Maximiliano, who set himself up as the Emperor of Mexico, and fought a battle and lost and was executed. And Raul Alemán is the great nephew of Benito Juarez, and of course he worked in many of these cases here in California. And also, he was with his pregnant wife. He escaped. He was a young graduate lawyer in the army, and he was at Bataan Corregidor, and he escaped with his pregnant wife. And the Japanese were chasing him all over the Philippines. And he later came to the United States. One of his daughters married a distant relative of General George Kellett Marshall, who was chief of staff of the U.S. Army and forces in World War II. Yeah, another World War II heroine, Sophie Scholl. She was part of the students who were opposing Hitler and Nazis. They were captured. They were known as the White Rose. She was beheaded on this day. And I think this date is wrong. I remember it. Mike Todd was married to Elizabeth Taylor. He also knew the principal of our school, Father Francis Garrity. And we got an invitation. One day he said, get on the bus. You're going to get a private showing of Around the World in 80 Days. We were brought to Chicago, and we had the whole theater to ourselves, but he didn't provide popcorn or Coca-Cola in those days. And we never met Mike Todd, but I asked Father Garrity how he knew him, and he just smiled. But he apparently they were great friends, and our whole graduating, our whole high school class, and I think the sophomores also went. Among the other event, and another death today, the Rockefellers in Arkansas, Winthrop Rockefeller died on this day. And David Susskind, who used to do documentaries for, I think, CBS. Among the events today, if you like popcorn, in 1630, the Indians introduced the Pilgrims to popcorn. I don't know if they survived on that in that cold winter, and I don't know if they had that as an appetizer to Thanksgiving. The first ship in 1784, the Empress of China set sail from New York and started the China trade. On this day in 1821, Spain sold Florida to the United States. And that's where you get all those Spanish names down there like St. Augustine. And in 1854, we had the first meeting of the Republican Party. And now we have John Huntsman, who was supposed to be a good Mormon. But he sent his kids to Catholic school, I understand. Anyway, he is now, I understand, suggesting to Republicans that they embrace gay marriage. The problem with that is people are beginning to ask the question, all these public figures, whether they're in the media or in politics or judges, who are promoting this agenda, if they embrace the agenda, are they engaged in the practices? You know, it's a legitimate question. In 1872, the first national convention of the Prohibition Party, and this is where that's one of the most stupid laws and unenforceable laws ever passed in the United States came from, the Prohibitionists. In 1876, one of the great medical schools was set up, John Hopkins University. And then we had, in 1878, the Greenback Labor Party. I didn't get much into that. Do you remember the Five and Dine, Woolworths and Kresge's? In 1872, in Utica, New York, Frank Woolworth set up the first Five and Dime store. No more. They're no more. And remember the counters where you could get a good cheese sandwich and a milkshake? In 1889, in the administration of Grover Cleveland, three states, three territories came into the Union, the Dakotas, Montana, and Washington. In 1900, Hawaii became a U.S. territory, and they became one of the last states. In 1909, when Teddy Roosevelt was president, he decided to show America's growing naval strength, and he sent what was known as the Great White Fleet around the world. On this date, it returned to, I believe, Hampton Roads or Norfolk in Virginia, after the successful round the world and showing the flag. In 1924, Calvin Coolidge became the first president to make a radio address, and we're going to play that right now from our archives. Where is Calvin? Here we go.
My countrymen, no one can contemplate current conditions without finding much that is satisfying and still more that is encouraging. Our country is leading the world in the general readjustment to the results of the great conflict. Many of its burdens will bear heavily upon us for years, and the secondary and indirect effects we must expect to experience for some time. But we are beginning to comprehend more definitely what course should be pursued, what remedies ought to be applied, what actions should be taken for our deliverance, and are clearly manifesting a determined will, faithfully and conscientiously, to adopt these methods of relief. Already we have sufficiently rearranged our domestic affairs so that confidence has returned, business has revived, and we appear to be entering upon an era of prosperity which is gradually reaching into every part of the nation. Realizing that we cannot live unto ourselves alone, we have contributed of our resources and our counsel to the relief of the suffering and the settlement of the disputes among the European nations.
Now, we had from the archives, this isn't the best tape, but that gives you an idea of the first presidential inaugural address. Now, Warren Harding was the first president. He was the predecessor of Coolidge. Coolidge was his vice president. Warren Harding gave was the first president to use the radio. He had a great basso voice. In fact, he played the tuba. Finishing up with the events today, in 1933, Hermann Göring, who was the head of the German police, he formed the SA and the SS, and we know the horrible things that they did to both the Germans and the Untermenschen Jews and others that the SS, the Schutzstaffel, asserted their jurisdiction over. Now, this is interesting. 1935, airplanes were banned from flying over the White House. I don't know why at that early date. It wasn't wartime. Those of my generation who served in Vietnam, they remember in 1967, Operation Junction City, where they tried to bottle up the Viet Cong, I think near the Cambodian border. During the Vietnam War, later on, that I did military counseling of AWOLs and guys who were thinking of going to Canada and deserting, and I advised them against it because I said, you can't come back. But Jimmy Carter, when he was president, granted them amnesty. In 1972, President Nixon and Kissinger negotiated a meeting in China between President Nixon, the first visit of an American president to China, and he met Chou Enlai and had that big banquet. And then in 1973, a liaison office was set up, an American and Chinese liaison office was set up in Beijing. That was for the Americans. And in Washington, D.C. for the Chinese, and now we have embassies and we have the biggest consulate in San Francisco, I think is the Chinese. It's the old Salvation Army home for unwed mothers. And in 1983, Harold Washington defeated Jane Bourne. He became the first black mayor of Chicago. And I remember I was in Chicago in 1988, I think it was, and I happened to be walking by City Hall. I was going to a law office. And an ambulance pulled up, and I said, "Oh, somebody important must be injured or sick or died." And it turned out it was Mayor Washington. I'll never forget that. Among the talking about Lincoln, during his administration, he had a horrible experience with the suppliers, purveyors to the Union Army. For instance, horses were generally sold at about $60 a horse. But when these horse dealers sold to the government, they doubled and almost tripled the price, and a lot of these horses were defective. Not only that, George Custer, who was in the cavalry, was known, him and his men were known as horse killers, and Lincoln was always complaining about this defective horse flesh. Not only that, the purveyors to the Union Army were selling the government rye, passing off as coffee or sugar, and flour that was just terrible. And this continued with the Indian dealers on the reservation, selling them bad flour and lousy meat and beef. Now, this is important because the question has come up, well, it happened in the Spanish-American War also, that when the army was in Cuba fighting the Spanish, the meat purveyors, the big meat purveyors, Armour, Swift, out of Chicago, were selling the government defective meat, adulterated meat, contaminated meat. Now the question has come up, has any of this horse meat found its way into our PXs, our military PXs, or the food supply for our commissary supply for our military personnel, even if they're abroad in places like England and where we have bases around the country, around the world, and around this country. That's an interesting question. On George Washington, I didn't get everything, but if you ever come to San Francisco, there is, in one of the museums, there is the sword that von Steuben gave to Washington at when von Steuben, after he the Revolutionary War was successfully won at Yorktown, thanks to the French. That's why we have the special relationship with the French, even though it's often rocky. George Washington, I think, also shared with Lincoln, or Lincoln shared with Washington, the profession of surveying. George Washington also learned some bitter lessons. He served in the French and Indian War, and he learned guerrilla warfare. Quite a man. And also, he had the first domestic revolution, or not revolution, but uprising in the Shays Rebellion, where he again donned his uniform to put down the whiskey rebellion in Pennsylvania. So an interesting man, and he refused a third term, and we hear that this is what Mr. Roe was asking for, and there are people who think that he didn't belong, he was not entitled to even the first term, and of course that issue is not going to go away. It's like Banquo's ghost until there's a resolution of this matter. So, and of course, nobody's asking the question of the government, are the food supplies that are ending up in the PXs and for sale to our veterans and military personnel and their families, is it safe? We don't want another situation. Now, also, we hear that the San Francisco Housing Authority is being investigated by the HUD. Now, from 1988 to 93, 94, 95, the FBI requested of me to do a flowchart, which is on the web. I reluctantly did it because being in the media, you shouldn't do these things. But this involved international sex trade, the international drug trafficking, international money laundering. And so it was a national security question. And under those circumstances, I agreed to do this. And so we're still pursuing these corruptors in public housing who abuse children. There has been rape. There has been you could get stolen goods. So when public housing senior citizens died, the managers would steal their cars and drive them around. Jan Allen, who lived in public housing, was one of the last descendants of Tammany Hall chieftain. She came here from New York after she served as a nurse at Pearl Harbor during World War II, and then later became an accountant. And also she was a nurse at Kaiser Hospital. And when she retired, she just did accounting and she lived in public housing. And she reported a lot of these scandals to HUD officials, but little or nothing was done. There were other people who complained about the San Francisco public housing, which had the Reverend Jim Jones, who was appointed by Mayor Moscone, and you could get anything you wanted up there, boys, girls, stolen goods, and also Section 8s were being sold for $500 a crack. When the guy who, the HUD official who was doing this was caught, they shipped him to Las Vegas, to the Las Vegas Housing Authority. So these are some of the things that have gone on, and it's probably worse that the housing is terrible, that nobody knows where the money is gone. In fact, one of the officials at the Housing Authority, a guy named Koritz, ends up in Miami, which is the narco banking capital of America. And he's connected to one of the corrupt San Francisco Housing Authority and HUD beneficiaries. So we will continue to expose that. Now, upcoming, Jack Cashel, one of America's least publicized but one of the best authors, and he's very prolific, very articulate, speaks several languages, and he's an Eagle Boy Scout, or was, and a conservative Roman Catholic who's exposed a lot of corruption. In fact, he worked in the Kansas City public housing, and he was exposing corruption, and they threatened his life, so he had to quit. Anyway, he has started a fundraiser to try to get a lawyer to help Stephen Nery, the U.S. Navy sailor who was illegally prosecuted, and we'll get into that because it gets complicated. He has an upcoming parole hearing, and this has been going on for nearly 17 years, a case where they had no jurisdiction but forged documents, intimidated witnesses, and even murdered the lover of a whistleblower. The whistleblower in this case was a man who was gay in his private life. We don't define people by their sexual preference, but what's between their ears and what's in their heart and how they perform. Anyway, Nick Rommel's partner, and we'll call him that, Nick was told to shut up and stop exposing things, and he didn't, and he continued, and his partner was brutally murdered by a Canadian who said he was on drugs at the time. So we will be back Monday, and we will continue and with more exposures, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, and we'll end with our usual politics and poker. And, of course, I don't know if Lincoln played poker. I doubt if Calvin Coolidge did. But you never know about some of these guys, what they are in public. They're not in – they are maybe something entirely different.
You say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. It's Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Well, there's some Democrats who are looking for even unqualified Republicans who they want to lose. So this is Peter Paul Bozzola. We'll be back Monday at 4 o'clock in Pacific Standard Time. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Have a safe weekend, and I hope you folks back east are digging out from under the snow, and this is the last blizzard you'll ever fall on you, at least for this year. Good night.